right, so we ended off our last session looking at Jesus' astounding claims to be God and to be able to forgive sins, and these three options that we're left with. He's lying, he was delusional, he's actually God. Now, I heard an interesting but false quote lately. It comes from a guy named Douglas Adams, who said, 2,000 years ago, one man got nailed to a tree for saying how great it would be if everybody was nice to each other for a change. It's a cute little quote, right? I thought it was funny, and I kind of laughed, and then I thought about it, and I thought, wait a minute. That's not why they killed Jesus, because he went around saying to be nice to each other. Lots of people get away with that. He died because he said he was God. That was really what was behind it. Clearly, those who were around Jesus at the time, those who killed him, decided option A. This man must be lying. He knows he shouldn't say these things, and he is. And so he's a lying criminal. He needs to die. Now, people today are usually less extreme. We look at a trilemma like this that says, you know, we've got three options. He's lying, he's delusional, or he's God. We try to get around it. Modern people usually like to say, well, you know what? Jesus said a lot of cool things, had a lot of good ideas. You heard this in the video we watched earlier, right? Yeah. He meant well. People took it the wrong way. Too bad for him. We try to get around this stuff, right? We try to say he was a little of this and a little of that. He was a good teacher, just a little confused on the whole God thing. Yeah, just a little off when it came to being God. That's usually what we try to do, but it's actually not possible. These three options are kind of exclusive from one another. C.S. Lewis saw it this way. He's a great Christian author. You might recognize him as having written the Narnia series. He wrote a lot of other great things as well. And he came up with those three options, called it liar, lunatic, or Lord. Or at least that's what other people call it. And he said, a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be insane or else he would be the devil of hell. Either Jesus was and is the Son of God, or else he was insane or evil. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great moral teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. This was probably 70 years ago. And even at that time, people were coming up with things like, oh, he was a great moral teacher. That's about it. Problem is, we've got to examine his life and teachings to see if it actually works out this way or not. Do great moral teachers say the things that Jesus said? I'm going to suggest no. I'm going to just flip back a couple slides here. There we go. So we've got to test those claims. We've got a number of things we're going to look at here to figure out which of these three Jesus is. And the first one has to do with what Jesus actually said. Could probably go without saying, but I think we should at least mark that Jesus simply said he was God. Never quite, as we explored already, never quite in English words that we can latch onto, but when we look at the combination of all the different things he said and did, it was clear he was very conscious of it and wanted people to get that message. Now, I get a lot of questions about Jesus being God. Sometimes it's new for people to hear that. And it often owes to confusing language in the Bible or confusing language that people use today that can sometimes be a bit sloppy. So people ask me questions like, okay, you say Jesus is God, but how can he be God? I thought he was the Son of God. That sounds like there's God and then there's this little kid who's, you know, just not really God. So I get that kind of question, or, you know, well, how can God be ruling over the universe and yet Jesus is here? Son of man, yeah, what does he mean when he says that? There's all these things that really confuse the topic and lead to some obvious questions. And it's so important we're actually going to have you guys explore it. We leave a fair bit of discussion time at the end of today for you to actually look through the Bible together as a group, seeing what Jesus says about himself, what other people say about him, to try to make sense of some pretty confusing statements. So it's something you'll work through together so you can see where it actually comes from, rather than just taking my word for it, because this is so often a new and challenging idea for people. We're going to see how Jesus speaks of himself as being God, and yet how he speaks of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit also being God, and how they speak of each other as being God and the collective as being God. It's very bad mathematics, but we're going to look at it anyway. Being the Son of God didn't mean he wasn't God. It rather meant that he was a particular person of God, or a way God relates to us. When I say person, I'm being very careful. I don't mean a human. I mean a personality, if you will. A way that God relates to us is through three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Personality is a dodgy word, is it not?
Well, it is. I say it only because person is at its root, and it sometimes helps people see. We don't mean person as an individual, discrete human organism, but rather person as a relatable being, if you will.
But would you not say that Jesus was a distinct individual?
Insofar as you could say he was one with the Father, and the Spirit proceeded from him. That's the challenge, right? Is that every time you try to completely land on one, you know, saying, okay, Jesus is God, you find Jesus saying something that totally blows that out of the water.
Yeah, but he's completely human, and he's completely God.
Well, let's look at that together later on in the Bible.
It'll
help everybody look at this kind of thing, because that statement you made is not uncontroversial. That blows people away. Mm-hmm. And so we need to actually explore where that comes from. Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah,
my ears are so tuned to what somebody's saying about it, and I guess you know.
Yeah. Personality isn't technical language. It's rather I say that because person's at its root, and it helps us see that person doesn't have to mean a human being, because God the Holy Spirit is not a human being, yet God the Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity, and so that's why I say person. Kind of like thinking about personalities, ways God relates to us. This is all very mysterious, and that's why you're probably confused now, and you will be more confused by the end of today. And that's actually a good thing, because God is very different from us, and I'm glad he is. God came before reason, before language, before science, so we shouldn't expect for those things to describe God fully. We shouldn't have the words to describe God fully. We shouldn't have the intellect, rational abilities to figure out God fully. We shouldn't have the science to figure out God fully. So I'm happy when we do hit our limits and we say this is just a little bit too much for me, because that means we're actually pursuing something bigger than ourselves, something other than ourselves. If you do ever find you've completely figured out God, you probably haven't. You've probably figured out you. And sometimes people describe their God to me and it sounds suspiciously like themselves. God likes all the things I like, hates all the things I hate. It's amazing we can know God in the first place, that we can know anything about him. A couple weeks ago I talked about the idea of God having a public profile and a private profile, right, that he shares with those who've come to know him. And the same way, it's amazing that God does let us in at all to knowing a bit about him. The fact we can't completely know him is good, because it means he's actually worth worshiping. It's actually worth knowing as God. Because if we could completely figure him out, he'd just become another guy like us. And there's not much thrill or excitement or value in worshiping somebody who's just like you.
That really makes it very shallow, doesn't it?
it's pretty common, though. Yeah. And that also means we can spend a lifetime pursuing a relationship with God and never really get bored with it. When people do get bored with their spiritual lives, it's often because their concept of God is really incomplete, or completely focused on one narrow aspect of God, and there's a whole new side to God to explore and to come to know. And so there's a lifetime of opportunities. People who are well into their hundreds can still be finding joy in a relationship with God, and the joy of new discovery as they read the Bible and discover something new about God. That's because God is so much bigger and greater than us. So don't be discouraged if, even by the end of today, you haven't figured out God entirely. That's because he's God and you're not. So move on.
Well, our question for you to think about today is kind of different. We want you to do a worksheet. You can find it on the website or the app attached to today's content, day 25. And you are asked to read a bunch of Bible passages and then check off the statements in a little worksheet that you think are correct. And then you can discuss your answers as a group, or we'll give you the answers below the worksheet. It's a challenging one. It's much longer than our usual question and answer period, but it's an important one because we've talked a lot about Jesus' claims to be God, and that's usually a confusing thing for people. They'll ask questions like, well, how can he be God and yet he talks to God the Father just as God? And this will help you see from the source, from the Bible, what Jesus said about God the Father and vice versa, and God the Holy Spirit you'll be introduced to as well. Have a great one working through that. Try not to do it alone. If there's somebody else you know taking this course, share this experience with them and discuss your answers, because it's a challenging one. By the end of the exercise, you'll likely have an incomplete picture of God. You'll say, well, Jesus is God, the Father is God, yet Jesus was a human being. Jesus had all the powers of God, and so does the Father. Yet they choose to rely on one another, share one purpose, and so on. The exact nature of God and how he can relate to us in all these ways is a mystery to everyone, not just you. So don't be surprised if by the end you're still learning. We all will be. All right, have a great one. I'll see you tomorrow as we look at a couple other ways to test Jesus' claims.